Okay, during this hour in our evangelism, we are going to be covering sharing your testimony effectively. Your testimony is a story of your own personal pilgrimage to God. It's a story of how God drew you to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. And your testimony is one of the most effective tools that God has given to you to share your faith in Jesus Christ with other people. Now, it's interesting to note that in the Scriptures we are commanded to share our testimony. In Psalms 107, verse 2, he says, "And let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, he says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear." And then in Acts chapter 1 and in verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Now, when you share your testimony, all you're doing is relating the facts. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ." It overcomes Satan in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." And then, as we share our testimony, it glorifies God. Mark chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath compassion on thee." And then again over in John chapter 4, verses 39 through 42, you remember the woman at the well, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed on his own words, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this indeed the Lord, the Savior of the world." So they started out, because of this woman's testimony, believing in Jesus Christ. Now, your testimony has real value. First of all, because it's your own personal experience. And people love to listen to other people's experiences in life because of that human element. In Reader's Digest, the first-person story of human drama is the most popular article in that Reader's Digest. But if people are going to listen to your personal experience, then we owe it to them to develop it, to make it interesting, and to polish it so that as people listen, that it both holds their interest, but it communicates the truth of the gospel. And when we share it, since it is a first-person experience, we need to stay in the first person and not go to preaching to other people. Secondly, it's a value because it cannot be refuted. Someone else cannot prove that it did not happen, since it is a personal experience which deals with an intangible aspect of my life. It deals with the spiritual, and it is not subject to empirical testing or scientific investigation. It's a value because it's easy to share. It's natural for people to enjoy telling and retelling their personal experiences, such as operations and accidents or momentous events in their life. In fact, sometimes it's very difficult to get away from some people without their telling you of their favorite experience, even if you've heard it a dozen times before. However, that same person, if you ask them to stand up, to speak, and to preach, they simply would not be able to do it. But they could take that personal experience and they could relate it to one or to a great number of people. Then, it's a value because it helps us share our own life. If you're transparent and willing to share your life with other people, they will be more willing to share their life with you. If, however, you're reluctant to share your own life, other people will sense that or have that same kind of reluctance in opening up to you. A Christian needs to take the initiative to set the kind of example that he wants that relationship to be built on. And if you want it to be built upon the superficial, well, you just set the example. And if you want it to be built on the personal, then you may have to set the example for that. And then it's also a value because it takes us off the pedestal. Often as Christians, we find that other people elevate us to a position which is unrealistic. They look up to us as if we were saints and expect us to live in perfection. They think that we cannot possibly be affected by the same kind of daily problems that they face. Tempted as we might be to let people put us on a pedestal, we dare not. We must be identified with sinful men, since we are simply sinners saved by grace. Our good works must not call attention to ourselves, but should cause others to focus on God and to glorify Him. Now, if our testimonies are of such great value, how do we go about sharing them? And we are going to look at Paul's example, since I think he perhaps is the best example of this in the Bible. And twice Paul gives his testimony in the book of Acts, once in chapter 22 to a mob that is trying to kill him, and then in chapter 26 where he stands before Festus and King Agrippa, who are trying to write out some sort of resume of his case to send to Caesar. And in each of these examples here, Paul divides his testimony into three parts. This is what my life was like before I came to Christ. This is how I came to Christ. And this is how Christ has changed my life. And it would be well for us to take and to study these two accounts carefully. And this morning we are going to look at one of them quickly. In Acts chapter 22, verses 1 to 5, Paul talks about his life before he comes to Christ. In the first part, Paul tries to identify with the people and exposes their open nerve. How does he identify with his listeners? Paul does this by speaking to them in their Hebrew tongue, which immediately caused them to listen. Then he goes on to assure them that he's also a Jew. He recounts for them his own childhood, how he was taught by the respected Jewish leader Gamaliel, and was zealous in the Jewish religion. And he shares even how he came to the point of persecuting and imprisoning and putting to death believers in Jesus Christ. I said he also exposed their open nerve. And the open nerve of this group was nationalism. The Jews listened to Paul until he got to the part of his story where God sent him to the Gentiles. At this point, they reacted so violently that the Roman guard had to come down and to rescue him, or they would certainly have put him to death. Now, hopefully, as you touch people's open nerves, you won't get that violent reaction, but the purpose for touching the open nerve is to cause people to react to what we are saying, or to listen to what is being said. Then in Acts chapter 22, verses 6 through 16, Paul tells them how he came to Christ. And here he relates why he became a follower of Christ and how Christ changed him from being a persecutor to being a disciple. Why he became a disciple? Here Paul tells the story that he was on his way to Damascus when a great blinding light from heaven blinded him, and Christ commanded him to go to Damascus and to wait further instructions. How he was changed. Paul relates that while he waited in Damascus, Ananias, under Christ's instruction, came to visit him, prayed for him, and instructed him concerning God's mission for him. For thou shalt be a witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And then in Acts chapter 22, verses 17 through 22, Paul deals with that aspect of his life after he came to Christ. And here Paul explains how God healed his open nerve of Jewish nationalism by sending him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. The Jews had rejected his message of Christ. And one day the Lord appeared to him in the temple and commanded him to depart, for I will send thee hence to the Gentiles. In sharing this aspect of your life after conversion, Paul tried to take the first part of his testimony that dealt with the open nerves and show how God dealt with that particular problem in his life. Some practical considerations in developing your testimony. First of all, it is not your whole life story. Is all you want to do is to select certain events that relate to what your life was like, that have to do with your open nerves, and to relate only that part of your testimony. For the most part, for me, my testimony is a lead up to the bridge. And then you say, by your own definition, do you then consider yourself to be a Christian? So even, and what if you're staying in the first person and you're sharing this personal experience of what happened to you, even though you may be relating, as you put it, some right answers, don't be afraid of that. Now, if I get caught in a situation where I may not be able to share the bridge, but see, having shared my testimony, I follow it with, are you interested in spiritual things? Well, have you ever considered becoming a Christian? And if somebody were to ask you, what would you tell them? And then I'm right at the bridge. But so oftentimes, as I'm talking to people and they're sharing their problems, or, you know, I tell them, well, you know, several years ago something happened that just radically changed my life. And then I step right into my testimony, and from there, are you interested in spiritual things? All in doing that, in volunteering more information than what people ask for. Okay, secondly, divide it in the three parts. That if you have those three transitions, it will help people to put your testimony together. And then in that first part, you want to amplify the open nerves. Remember that you're trying to get people to identify with you, and you are trying to identify with other people's human experiences. And you might just go back and review what we did last week on open nerves, because all of that is a prelude to this week. And I am suggesting that you primarily use those and in your testimony. Then present the gospel clearly. And that's in the second part, how I came to Christ. This is the whole point of sharing my testimony. And so what I need to do is to find a verse or two that very clearly and concisely explains how I came to Christ, because I may never get any further than that. So somehow that gospel presentation should be in there, and then explain the healing of those open nerves in the third part, that the nerves that you open up come back and share how Christ or God has dealt with those areas of your life now that you have come to Christ. And then share with discretion. Some of you may have some things in your past that you would just as soon go to the grave with, and you would not be willing to own up to those. And you ought to build your testimony around only that which you are comfortable sharing. It may be that from time to time that you might meet people who face problems in the area that you would not like to be so open about. And oftentimes in those situations that I will be willing then to reach out and to identify with a person. But primarily, you can only build your testimony around what you're comfortable with. And then stay in the first person. People don't mind listening to your experience, and oftentimes enjoy hearing what God is doing in the lives of other people, but somehow become offended when you suggest to them that perhaps God could do the same thing or ought to go to work on them also. So you can destroy the very thing that you're trying to do by jumping in and getting out of that third person and preaching to them. Then appreciate your own testimony. If God would have wanted to make you some other way, or to give you some other kind of testimony, he would have. But he didn't. And your testimony will reach people that nobody else's testimony will reach. Some of you have an inkling of my testimony because I have alluded to it from time to time. And you'd say, well, you know, if I was a drunk and ended up in jail a few times like you did, Dawson, I'd really have something to share with people. But you know, I was converted a day that the man whose testimony I heard, he wasn't a drunk, never been in jail, never had the problems that I had. But that morning, he hit my open nerve. His life was without purpose and meaning, and he traveled one path. And because my life was without purpose and meaning, I followed a much radical or a much more different and radical sort of life. But he touched my open nerve. And even though his life was entirely different, well, that's the day I was converted. So God can, because you are capable of identifying with the human needs of other people, irregardless of what your testimony is. And then, be factual. Oftentimes there's a temptation to stretch the truth just a little bit for a more dramatic effect. But don't do that. If God is going to use our testimonies, then we have got to be honest and factual. And then last, pray and seek God's help and guidance as you develop this fantastic tool that he has given to you. And God will give you countless opportunities to share it with other people.